أأنتم أشد خلقا أم السماء بناها.
Is it harder to create you or the heaven? But Allah built it. Is it harder to create you? This marks the beginning of the discourse on the rationale and plausibility of the last day and life after death. Or the heaven. The reference here is to mankind's resurrection. Heaven in this verse stands for the whole celestial system, stars, planets, solar systems, and galaxies. The unbelievers regard resurrection as impossible. They contend as to how the dead can be brought back to life once their bones have disintegrated. Do they ever reflect how this vast universe was created in the first place? Is its creation harder or resurrection of the dead? Since it was not hard for Allah to create the universe and the heaven, He can easily recreate it. This argument for life after death recurs in the Quran. Has He who created the heavens and the earth no power to create the likes of them? He is the superb creator. Yasin 36:81. Surely, the creation of the heavens and the earth is a greater act than the creation of human beings, but most people do not know. Al-Mu'min 40:57. And raised its vault high and proportioned it. And covered its night with darkness and brought forth from it its day. And covered its night with darkness and brought forth from it its day. Both night and day are mentioned in the context of the sky, for as the sun sets on the sky, night falls. Likewise, the rising of the sun on the horizon marks dawn. That night covers signifies that its darkness envelops the earth. And thereafter, spread out the earth. And thereafter, spread out the earth. And thereafter, spread out the earth does not necessarily mean that it happened at a later stage than the sky's creation. Rather, it states two simultaneous actions. The two are mentioned in succession, not in chronological order, but with a view to drawing attention to one and then the other. Take this Quranic statement as illustrative. The coarse-grained and above all mean and ignoble. Al-Qalam 68:13. This does not relate that the first characteristic was later followed by others. What is meant is that the person in question has all these features. Another instance in point is, it is freeing someone's neck from slavery, and then, besides this, he be one of those who believed. Al-Balad 90:13 and 17. Once again, this does not mean that one should first perform some good deeds and then embrace faith. Essentially, these verses portray a believer who, apart from being blessed with faith, does many good deeds. It is also worth clarifying that at some places the Quran speaks first of the creation of the sky and in others of the earth. There is no internal contradiction. It is not the Quran's concern to state which of the two was created first, the earth or the sky. Rather, in the context of Allah's creative wonders, creation of the sky is mentioned first. Whenever the context demands that man's attention be drawn to the bounties he receives from the earth, the creation of the earth takes precedence. For further details, see Ha Mim Al-Sajda 41, notes 13-14.
أخرج منها ماءها ومرعاها.
And brought out of it its water and its pasture. And brought out of it its water and its pasture. Pasture is not to be taken in its narrow, specific sense of fodder for cattle. Rather, it embraces the whole range of plant life which is used by both men and animals. In Surah Yusuf, the same expression is used with reference to the young Joseph, when his elder brothers sought their father's permission to take Joseph, peace be upon him, with them, so that he may move about and pluck and eat fruits in the forest. Yusuf 12:12. And firmly fixed in it mountains.
مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ.
All this as provision for you and your cattle. All this as provision for you and your cattle. These verses affirm the reality of the last day and life after death with the help of two arguments. As Allah is all-powerful, it is not hard for Him to bring about these. He has created a vast universe with a remarkable balance and interconnection. The earth, once again created by Him, abounds in an amazing variety of resources. Furthermore, Allah's perfect wisdom, of which undeniable manifestations are scattered around us, makes it clear that there is nothing vain or without purpose in the universe. Instead, there is perfect balance and coordination amid the numerous stars, planets, and galaxies. All this testifies that it is not some haphazard show. Rather, it represents an elaborate and purposive scheme of things. The constant alternation of day and night demonstrates that the earth has been created as part of a wise plan. In most regions on earth, the cycle of day and night is completed in an equal measure within 24 hours. Yet there are some regions which have unusually long nights or days. Life in such regions is relatively more difficult. Significantly enough, there is less population there as well. Such remote regions in which day and night last for 6 months each are the least habitable. This wide discrepancy in the duration of day and night on the same planet, Earth, is devised by Allah in order to stress the truth that the regular alternation of day and night is not a chance happening. Rather, it has been put in place wisely and to make life easy. Likewise, the earth has been spread out like a bed. It has been provided with water that sustains human, plant, and animal life. Mountains have been fixed on it once again to provide ample means for human and animal life. The creation of the universe is thus not some sport. Natural phenomena are not chance happenings. Each and every object in the universe has been prudently placed by the all-wise, all-knowing Lord. It is for every thinking person to reflect upon whether the hereafter is the next logical step or not. Those who reject the doctrine of the hereafter in the face of these signs tend to dismiss man's existence as something pointless, for they observe firsthand the wisdom and purpose underlying each and every object of the universe. It is a totally untenable proposition that man cannot be called to account after his death. As man is invested with so many faculties, powers, and authorities, he must be held accountable for his own conduct. This is a simple, logical position, supported by the dictates of common sense and justice.
فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الطَّامَّةُ الْكُبْرَى
But when the great calamity will come about, the last day is branded as the great calamity, for it will afflict everyone. The expression thus befits the enormity of the occasion.
يَوْمَ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ مَا سَعَى
On the day when man will recall all his strivings, on the day when man will recall all his strivings, on the day of reckoning, when man will be faced with the tidings he has been told of, he will be obliged to recall his record of deeds. Even in this world, when one feels that death is approaching, the main events of one's life flash before one's eyes.
وَبُرِّزَتِ الْجَحِيمُ لِمَنْ يَرَى
And hell will be brought in sight for anyone to see.
فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى
Then he who transgressed and preferred the life of this world, most surely his abode shall be hell. But he who feared to stand before his Lord and restrained himself from evil desires, most surely his abode shall be paradise. Most surely his abode shall be paradise. This succinctly lays down the criteria that will be applied on the Day of Judgment. One may revolt against Allah, transgressing His bounds as His servant, and be engrossed wholly in worldly pleasures, even if procured lawfully. The other option is that of piety, leading life with God consciousness and an acute sense of accountability. A pious person refrains from base desires and illegitimate gains out of the fear of Allah. Every human being will be adjudged on the basis of his outlook on life. Rebels will be hurled into hell forever, whereas the pious will enjoy the eternal abode of paradise. They ask you about the hour, when will it be? They ask you about the hour, when will it be? The Meccan unbelievers often posed this question to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, but not because they were sincere about finding out about the inevitable last day. On the contrary, they did so in order to scoff at the concept of the hereafter. For details, see Al-Mulk 67, note 35. What concern do you have to speak about that? Its knowledge rests with your Lord. You are only a warner to him who has a fear of it. You are only a warner to him who has a fear of it. This point is addressed in note 36 of Surah Al-Mulk. The Prophet's warning will benefit only those who have a fear of the Day of Judgment. On the day they see it, they will feel as though they had stayed in the grave no more than one evening or one morning. On the day they see it, they will feel as though they had stayed in the grave no more than one evening or one morning. For an elucidation of this point, see Towards Understanding the Quran, Volume 4, Yunus 10, Note 53, page 40. Volume 5, Bani Israel 17, Note 56, page 50. Taha 20, Note 80, pages 224 to 225. Volume 6, Al-Mu'minun 23, Note 101, page 128. Volume 8, Al-Rum 30, Notes 81 to 82, page 115. Volume 9, Yasin 36, Note 48, pages 266 and 267. And Al-Ahqaf 46, Note 35.